Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to the Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should heed his voice and let the people go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hands upon Egypt and bring forth my hosts, my people, the sons of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the people Israel from among them." This ends the scripture reading.
We're continuing our series on the Exodus, and we're talking about plagues and hardened hearts. And as we start, I just want to ask, actually, I don't want to ask necessarily. I just want to extend my condolences to all the Michigan State fans out there. As a Michigan fan, I do understand what you're going through. To understand what I've gone through, let's draw this out over the course of the next 5 to 10 years and see what happens. I don't know. Were any of you disappointed? Could we just move on? Right. You know, this was Saturday. You're not supposed to have to relive this on Sunday, right? That's not what we're here for. Right. And you know, I do want to tell you a little bit about somebody who is really disappointed in what happened in Michigan that doesn't live in New Jersey. I read about this morning. A restaurant in Ann Arbor offered to give a discount by the margin of victory. Think about that for a second. Yes. Can you imagine being that restaurant owner and watching as the score just continued to go up and up and up? And the reason I'm bringing this up today, there is a reason, not just to talk football, but I was wondering if you were aware that what other people do can have an impact on you. Were you aware that what other people do, even people that you don't even know, can have an impact on your emotional state or the way that you feel? Did you know that? I just use football as an example. We heard from a State fan that said, "We just need to move on. That's not why we're here." Obviously, something happened there. And if I asked Michigan fans, they might be, dare I say, a little smug this morning. Right? It had an impact on them based upon what happened yesterday versus based upon what happened over the last few years. What other people do impacts us. And that's just a fun thing. Or it's supposed to be a fun thing. Some people take it a little too seriously. But that is one of those things where we look at that and it can either bring us up or bring us down. There are more serious things that happen in our lives too, right? I imagine that when some of us read the news or listened to the news about some of the things that were released on Friday night politically, some of us got angry. Did anybody experience some anger yesterday? Okay, no? Okay, a few of us? I understand that anger is a tough thing to admit to. But to say that some of these things were said is just pretty unbelievable. Except it's not unbelievable now, is it? So we're looking at these things, and what happens, what we're shown, impacts us. And sometimes these negative emotions can be brought up, and what other people do impacts us. There is an analogy that I often use with my premarital folks, and maybe I've even used it in a sermon before. I want to bring it back up again. And it has to do with a baby. And those of you who've ever put a baby to bed know that oftentimes over the crib, there's this thing that hangs. What do you call that? A mobile, right? A mobile, tomato, tomato. And what happens, what happens when you touch one thing on that mobile? Everything else moves, right? Everything else moves. You can touch one thing, and it's not like it just bobs up and down. The whole rest of the system goes into motion, right? And you and I are like points on a mobile. When one thing, when something happens to somebody else that we know, and that brings them up or brings them down, it will reverberate throughout the entire system. Our church is like a system. Our community is like a system. Our families are like these systems. None of us lives outside of a connection. And today, we're going to talk about how some of those connections happened back in Egypt, because apparently the idea of losing free labor really had an impact on Pharaoh's heart. It hardened his heart. And maybe there are some things that hardened our hearts too. So we're going to go into that. Let's talk about some change. Positive change. Positive change is still change, right? And people are sometimes threatened by change. Are you somebody that likes change? That can be, some people are like, yeah. There are definitely some things that I want to see changed, and I would love to see some change. And other people see change as a really hard thing because we like the way things are. We like the way things have been. Change is threatening. And even if somebody comes to us and says, I think this is going to be a really, really good thing. Wait a second. Change is hard. And maybe you've had an experience like this. A couple weeks ago, we talked about being delivered. And we talked about some of the things that you might have been delivered from. And last week, we talked about having the courage to follow God's call. And maybe you've come to a point in your life where you've been able to do that. Where you've been delivered from something, and you've followed God's call. And you're making really good changes in your life, and all of a sudden, you meet some resistance from somebody. You meet some resistance from somebody, and you don't really understand why. Have any of you ever known an alcoholic? Have you known an alcoholic? Right, an alcoholic that, let's take it one step forward, an alcoholic that's trying to quit, right? Not an alcoholic that's diving into the bottle, but an alcoholic that is trying to quit. Do you know what happens to that person's friendships with the people that they drink with? That they all of a sudden no longer have the same social network that they used to have? That the people that they used to go out and party with, the people that they used to meet at the bar with, have a really, really hard time relating to that person because alcohol is no longer a part of their relationship. And the person that is trying to change will meet pushback from the people who want things to stay the same. Maybe you've had an experience like that. Maybe you're not an alcoholic. Maybe, have you ever tried to lose weight? Have you ever tried to lose weight? And you know, you get up in the morning and say, this is the day, this is the day that I'm going to make some positive changes. This is the day that I'm going to go and exercise. This is the day that I'm going to start eating better. And this is the day that somebody's going to bring donuts to work. Right? Right? This is the day. Why don't you want my donuts? All right? This can happen in some very serious ways. This can happen in some lighthearted ways. But when we try to change, sometimes we meet pushback. Moses was delivered from being accused of murder. Moses was called by God when he was out in the middle of the wilderness, and we talked about the burning bush. And now we see Moses, at this point in the Exodus story, he's talking to Pharaoh. He's talking to Pharaoh. And as he's speaking with Pharaoh, he's trying to make God's point. And he says, this is what God says. And he, you know, he even changes the message a little bit, right? Did you catch that? Is God's message, hey, my people need to go out and have a religious festival? Or is God's message, let my people go? Which one is God's message? Let my people go, right? But Moses changes that a little bit and says, you need to let the Israelites just go out in the wilderness. Maybe we can sneak this. Does God work in sneaky ways? No. No, 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 no. Fortunately, Pharaoh sees right through this, right? Why would all the slaves need to leave? And you're saying you're just going to come back? Is that what you're implying, Moses? I don't think so. Moses sees through it, or Pharaoh sees through it. And he says no. His heart is hardened. He says, who is God? Who is God? Now, even if you didn't know the rest of the Exodus story, and maybe some of you don't, but even if you didn't know the rest of the Exodus story, but you do know God, you know at that point, Pharaoh has painted himself into a really, really bad corner. Who is God? No, I'm not going to do that. This is going to be a problem. And this is the type of hardening of heart that maybe you've experienced in other people when you try to make a change, when Moses was trying to make a change. This type of change, the following of God, is something that will meet resistance. The following of God's call on your life is something that when you decide to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, when you decide to do what it is that God is calling you to do, you can almost be assured that you are going to meet some sort of resistance. Maybe it will come in the form of people. Maybe it will become a straight-up spiritual battle, but you will meet a form of resistance. And it is up to us in those moments to rely on the strength of God to overcome that resistance, to move through that resistance. You see, God works one life at a time. One life at a time. Joel, if I could have the next slide. Thank you. God's work is in one life at a time. There should be an is in there. My fault. God works in my life. One life at a time. God works in your life. One life at a time. God works in your life. One life at a time. God is going to work in somebody else's life. One life at a time. So whether it's me or you or somebody else, we've all gone through a time when our heart has been hard. We've all gone through a time when we just don't want to do what it is that God is trying to tell us to do. And that can be a challenge. That can be hard to wait on God's timing. Because when we see what God is doing in our own life, when we see where God is calling us, and we get filled with that joy. Got a letter from the Stocks this week. Do you remember the Stocks, Crystal and Elijah? Yeah. Do you remember they're traveling to Africa to live next to a war zone, to be in a fairly dangerous place? Do you remember the joy that they had when they were telling us what they were going to go do? I imagine, I didn't talk to them about the obstacles that they faced, but they had them. And yet, the joy of God lifted them over that. And they didn't get caught up in those that tried to hold them back. They just kept following God's will as the Israelites kept following God's will, as we are called to keep following God's will regardless of what the obstacles are. And if people's hearts are hardened around us, we just have to have faith that God will be at work in those hearts as well. God works one life at a time. And some of you are saying, well, that's all well and good, but what about us? What do we do? And we need to love through the change. We need to love through the change. And that begins with prayer. And if you know somebody with a hardened heart, if you know somebody that you're in conflict with, my hope is that you will be in prayer for that person. Is it easy to be angry at someone? Is it easy to point the finger? This week, my challenge for you is to take the pointed finger, right? Take the pointed finger and have it be joined with 9 of its friends. And then maybe the knees go down to the floor. When we meet somebody with a hardened heart, our first duty is to pray for that person. And the second duty, let's not sugarcoat that. Is that hard? Is that hard sometimes? Maybe that's a sign of our own hardened heart. When we think of somebody that we are in conflict with, that's opposing us, is it hard to pray for that person? Does that involve a little bit of a sense of having to surrender our pride? But that's where we need to start. And maybe for our own benefit as much as for that other person's benefit, to pray in such a way that our own hearts become softened. Because, you know, maybe that was part of the problem to begin with. And then to have compassion upon that person. Jesus told us to love our enemies. And those who stand against God's will can only be changed by being loved. Now, I don't know. I know that there are people on both sides of the political spectrum here. So I will say that there is probably a political candidate out there that you don't like very much. What would it take for you to love that person? Could you love that person? Sort of uncomfortable, isn't it? Sort of uncomfortable. Could you love that person? Now, that's obviously a hypothetical. Most of us won't get the chance to meet either of those people. But you do have someone in your own life. And can you listen to them? Can you understand them? Can you listen with the intent to understand rather than to reply? Can you go back to praying for that person? Can you love that person with compassion? Because when you move towards compassion, that has an effect on the mobile too. When you move towards compassion, you are changed, and that changes everyone around you. And so today, that challenge is to move towards compassion to those in your family, to those in your church, to those at your work or school, to those in your community. Move towards compassion. Allow your own heart to be softened. And watch the softening of the hearts around you. Would you pray with me? God, soften our hearts today. Soften our hearts in such a way that your love is unmistakable flowing through us. Soften our hearts so that the plagues that surround us of addiction, of anger, of other things, God, that we might see those plagues be taken away. God, soften our hearts. Help us to be a people of prayer. Amen.